This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Kana wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Uusikum wa iyaya awlan bittaqullah faqad faza al-muttaqun. Kama qala Allah ta'ala fil Qur'an al-Kareem ba'da al-a'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu ittaqullah haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Wa ba'du fa inna khairul kalam kalamullah wa ahsanu hadi hadun Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa syarrul umuri muhdatsatuha wa kullu muhdatsatin bid'ah wa kullu bid'atin dalalah wa kullu dalalatin finnar. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah, all praise due to Allah Rabbul Alamin for His blessing, for His mercy, for His guidance, for His forgiveness, and for all the risk that Allah has provided for all of us until today. May Allah's barakah increase in our daily life. Ameen. May Allah increase our health and our wealth so that we can serve Him better. Ameen. InshaAllah, to all the brothers and sisters, let's begin our class with the morning dua that was recommended by our Prophet ﷺ, the best of Allah's creation, to recite every morning. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma bika asbahna wa bika amsayna wa bika nahya wa bika namut wa ilayka an-nushur. Bismillahilladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد نبيا اللهم زدني علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا اللهم أدخلنا جنتك وأجرنا من النار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين. We try our level best to make all the azkar zikr so that Allah رب العالمين will make us among the people who remember Him in good time, in bad time. When we are healthy or when we are sick, we will always remember Allah Rabbul Alameen. Whether we are male or female, Zakirin wa Zakirat, Allah promised those who always remember Him that Allah will reward us kindly and also will forgive all our sin. That is the significance of remembering Allah Rabbul Alameen. To all the brothers and sisters, again, before we continue, let me convey the salam from our good brother and sister from Karachi, which I was there for a conference, and also some family members from Dubai whom we met before we came back to Malaysia. Alhamdulillah, the conference was organized by the young generation to reach out to the younger generation of Muslim in Karachi, Pakistan, and also to the elite kind of community who feel that it's easy to understand Islam through English kind of lecture than the Urdu way of teaching. We know that as we grow, we are exposed to many things. Even our children here is exposed to many things. So it's easier for people to have some understanding about the beauty, the value of Islam, when we understand it in the language that we are used to. Majority of us here also understand English, and that's why we choose this medium of communication. Brothers and sisters, in the same time, we know that Islam is a religion who is here to discipline ourselves, to have self-development first before we do any other things. That's why when we talk about faith, iman, we talk about me, myself, and I. Everything go inward first before you look outwards. Yeah? We have to make sure that we become a better person before we want to help others. The same thing goes to that. We hope that Allah Rabbul Alameen will make it easy for us to act upon the knowledge that we have learned until today. Because at the end of the day, the ayah that I always quote, and it was quoted by our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions of the Prophet, the Sahaba Khulafa Rashidin, even the great scholars for Imam Abu Hanifa, Malik, Shafi'i and Hanbali. They always remind us with the reminder of Allah by quoting this ayah, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullah haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Now the ayah, the ending of the ayah is a very important reminder. Yeah? Because Quran was sent by Allah as a zikr, inna nazzalna zikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. Allah said that we revealed the Quran as a zikr, as a reminder. That's why the Quran is here, keep on reminding every one of us what to do, what to say, what to eat, what to drink, and then in the same time, what not to do, what not to say, what not to eat, what not to drink. The do and the don'ts. Then Allah Rabbul Alameen remind us that if every one of us want Allah's blessing to be with us, not only now, until the end of time, make sure that we try our level best to be obedient to Allah's command. We are not saying that we all are angels, but we must try our level best to be obedient to Allah Rabbul Alameen by doing what He wants us to do and stay away from what He forbid. Secondly, Allah Rabbul Alameen remind us that every one of us will have their days. Every one of us will have to return back to Allah sooner or later. We have a brother who has been with us for a long time, but lately he has never been with us because he was very, very sick. He asked us to pray for him, Abu Said. Yeah? He's a brother from Bangladesh with the family. We just visited him last night, having a very serious kind of tumor inside the stomach. Yeah? So may Allah make it easy for him, you know, strengthen his faith, increase his sabar, and also to his family. Yeah? And may Allah Rabbul Alameen know that every sickness and illness, there is a cure. Yeah? That's what we must believe first. Yeah? The Prophet said, لُكُلِّ دَاءِ دَوَى, every sickness or illness, there is a medicine. فَتَدَاوُ, what we are trying is, we never give up, number one. After we try our level best, we must learn to have our inner peace. We must not be too worried, too anxiety, depression, because that will kill. Yeah? Depression sometimes, anxiety, unnecessary worry, will also destroy us, yeah? Before the sickness destroy us. So what is important, Allah Rabbul Alameen always remind us, Allah bi zikrillahi tatma'inul qulub. By remembering Allah, you will have inner peace. That is what we are trying to work within ourselves. How to remember Allah in that time. Good time, we do remember very little, because we'll be busy with a lot of other things. But when bad time, we do remember, but how do we remember Allah at that time? Yeah? Normally, being a human, when we remember Allah in bad time, We want Allah to respond to us and cure our sickness immediately, if possible. Nothing is impossible for Allah. Yeah? Remember, nothing is impossible for Allah Rabbil Alameen. But we must have the right belief. Yeah? And why Allah Rabbil Alameen want us to have an inner peace? Because Allah said, Yawm la yanfa'u malun wala banun. Remember, the day will come, all your wealth, all your children cannot help you anymore. Even if you have everybody around you, all the specialists around you, they can't help you. That's why Allah said, Yawm la yanfa'u malun wala banun illa man atallah biqalbin salim. Except those who have prepared themselves to return to Allah in a peaceful manner, submitting themselves to Allah. Biqalbin salim, with a very submitted heart. Yeah? The heart have learned to submit to Allah qadar. And that's why Allah Rabbul Alameen remind all of us, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha wal tanzurun nafsum ma qaddamat lighadin. O you who believe in Allah, be faithful to Him and always look into ourselves. Me, my, and I. Yeah, me, myself, I. What have we prepared for our tomorrow? This is something very, very important for all of us. And we hope that we will set an example for our coming generation, our children. Yeah? They also have to prepare themselves. You know? We all also believe what Allah has said, that peace belongs to Him. There is a prayer that we have been asking Allah, Allahumma antas salam wa minkas salam. O Allah, you are peace, peace belongs to you. Peace only come from you. So always remember this. If you think of your problem, then the problem will grow. If you want peace, when you have done your best, you must learn how to have tawakkal. But you must do your level best. You must be committed. It's just like when a person is sick, he will or she will try their best to look for medication. If they have the means, they have to do what they can. If they can travel abroad, travel abroad. There's nothing wrong. There's not a sin to travel abroad if you think that they can offer you a better treatment. Yeah? The brother that I mentioned, they travel to China. When they got some info that China are very aggressive. The specialists in China, they are not like here. They are very aggressive and they are very daring. They go all out. Whether we are in or out, they will go all out. Yeah? But when he was there, when they look at him, they arranged to send him back. Because they said that it's too big. Mm? But we never give up hope. As a believer, human will try their best. Human will say what they know, but Allah have all the final say. Yeah? That is one thing very important. Yeah? If you don't try, then we are not doing our part. After we have tried, then we have to learn how to submit to Allah and believe in Allah's miracle. Yeah? When Allah said it's going to happen, it happened. We don't give up hope. Yeah? Because when we want to die, brother and sister, we did not die because of sickness. No. We die because Allah have ordained us to go back to Him. It's not because of this pain. That is just sabab. Yeah? Reasoning. People who are healthy also die. Yeah? People who eat very well also die while eating. Yeah? So, you die is not because of sickness. Sickness is just one of the trial from Allah Rabbul Alameen. But we are not here to ask for any sickness. We always ask Allah to give us health. That's why the Prophet reminds his Ummah, don't forget five before the other five come to us. But normally we forgot. Yeah? When you are alive, don't forget to do whatever you can before death come to us. This is very important. That means we have to plan. Yeah? We have to plan how to die sometime. Yeah? Whether we want to die in a good, we have a good ending, or we just die as a normal person die, is up to us to decide. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before I start continue the book, do his migration, I show you just simple, a very easy example. When he was making his migration from Makkah to Medina, he planned. He made sure that everything is being planned properly before he take his journey. Yeah? He planned who to travel with him, which direction he's going to move. If you look at the direction that we are traveling from Makkah to Medina now by road, that is the direction of the hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ. That is his route. When they want to rebuild a new road to Medina, compared the old one from Jeddah, where you can bypass Badr. Yeah? So the new road is the road of Hijrah. It was well planned. When it was well planned, when Allah tested the Prophet, and Abu Bakr and the Prophet was in the cave, At-Tur. At that time, the Prophet said, "Inna Allaha ma'ana." The Prophet said to Abu Bakr, "Don't worry. Because when they are well planned, you don't have to worry. Allah will be with us." In the war of Badr, the first war, to do the Prophet, it's the first time for him to engage. He do not know. He do not know also, you know, how the situation in Badr. Yeah. At that time, Allah Kareem, the Prophet was also worried because this is the first time they want to engage in a battle, where the Muslim is not well equipped, where the enemy of Islam is so well equipped, their number is greater than the Muslim. He will have that kind of feeling to be human. But Abu Bakr used to give him a lot of moral support. In Hijrah, Rasulullah is the one who give all the support to Abu Bakr. In Badr, Abu Bakr gave a lot of support to the Prophet ﷺ. But when we have planned everything, then I believe that we have more confidence of ourselves. But when we don't know what is going to happen, of course, we need other people to back up. We need other people to also give a lot of input so that we all are ready for the worst. Allahu Akbar. But at the end of the day, Allah give them victory, of course. But you need that kind of confidence, backup, support, moral support. It's very important in life. When somebody is down, somebody must bring them up. There are days we are down, so whoever is strong must help us. There are days we, the one who is strong one day, is going to face down downside, then the others must pull them back. Pull them up. That's how Allah said, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَتَقْوَى. We must be ready to help each other. For the sake of Allah, Rabbul Alameen. We believe, brothers and sisters, that we all who are here every Sunday are people who are prepared. Yeah? Who are preparing ourselves before we return back to Almighty Allah Rabbul Alameen. A lot of things have been changing, and we know the changes. Something that is not clear, something is very clear, but we must have faith in Allah Rabbul Alameen. Like how all the Prophet was sent to strengthen the faith of the followers. Our last class, we were talking about page 41, if I'm not wrong, page 41. Yeah, I have to reconfirm with all the students here, the brothers and sisters, because sometimes they remember better than me. Yeah. As we age, you know, we are not really very old yet, but we are aging. Yeah. We know that we do have our own weaknesses. We were talking about the last ayah and last class, page 41. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ in Surah Ahzab, where Allah Rabbul Alameen remind all of us. You surely have in Allah's Messenger, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, an excellent example, beautiful example. As a man, as a young man before he became a prophet, as a businessman, as a husband, as a father, as a leader, you can follow him. If you want to be a successful youth, you can follow him. He never lie, he never cheat, he never waste time, even when he was young. He used to do a lot of good things, help the poor, yeah, help the elders, respect the elders, yeah, and also he always loved people who are younger than him. From a young age, there is his character. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Very honest, sincere, trustworthy, committed, that is Muhammad bin Abdullah in the beginning. When he reached the age of teenagers, people start to trust him more because of his mindset. Even his 20, he was appointed as one of the committee of Hilful Fudul. Hilful Fudul is a group of committee who's in charge to make sure that all the different tribes who live within Makkah have peace among themselves. Everybody have to honor, help each other. Earlier than that, the bigger tribe will bully the weak one. The rich will exploit the poor. So Muhammad, being a nice man, a man who loves fairness, justice, always promote justice, fairness. And people trust him and appoint him to be one of the members of the Hilful Fudul. Alhamdulillah. And later on, alhamdulillah, he became a very successful businessman to the extent that his beloved wife, Khadija, who was his boss at one time, offer her hand to this man. You know, normally, for the boss to get married with their, it's very difficult, you know. Yeah, very difficult. Anyhow, alhamdulillah, he became a very successful husband, loving husband, caring husband, and in the same time, he also became a very loving and caring father. He has his own children with Khadija, and also he has stepchildren from Khadija. Brothers and sisters, the Prophet is the best example. If only we all try to follow. But we cannot be a prophet. Don't ever think that when you follow him, you become a prophet. No. We are just a good follower. Allah who loved us so much, when he created all of us, he sent down guidance, the Quran. He appointed prophets to guide all of us. Asking Allah to help their people, one of the responsibility of prophets, were very merciful towards their people. That's why prophet was not sent to judge people. No. Prophet was not sent to reinforce the law yet. No. The reinforcement of the Islamic law was later. Almost towards the end of his prophethood, then the reinforcement was there. Before that, the prophet was sent is to show mercy, rahmatan lil alamin. People who have committed sins came to the prophet, confessed to the prophet. The prophet just let them go home, go home, go home. Go back. To show us how merciful the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are people who are very sincere. They confess themselves. Not that they were false, they were arrested. They confess. The prophet don't even want to entertain them. Go home. To the extent the prophet said to them, if you have sinned last night, only you and Allah knows, and no one knows, why must you talk to me? Why must you tell me? Allahu Akbar. Very unique. He is not sent by Allah to spy on anyone. No. No, he is sent to bring mercy. If somebody is wrong, he will correct them. If somebody is far away from God, he will bring them closer. If somebody who has not been good, he will try to make them good. But he is not going to say that you are so bad. No. He gives them hope because Allah said, "Qul, la tahnatu min rahmatillah, ayyuhan nas, la tahnatu min rahmatillah." O people, don't ever lose hope. Never lose hope. Because Allah is always there to forgive us. Very merciful. Very forgiving. Allahu Akbar walillahil hamd. The prophets were very merciful towards their people. They, the prophet, want them to see the truth and be guided by the truth. Not only that, they made dua to Allah. This is one thing that is very lacking among us today. When people are not to our standard, we are better now. People are not praying, we start to judge them. No. Yesterday we were informed that there are young girls, they are busy in a shopping mall. Time for prayer, they went into the musalla. Young girls, and they want to pray. But they experience very bad experience from some elderly sisters who are also in the musalla to pray. When the elder says, call them, don't pray. You don't have to pray. When you don't wear hijab, don't pray. That means when they are coming in to the musalla, they don't wear hijab. You know, we have a lot of people, Muslims sometimes, because the weakness of iman, they don't wear hijab. They only wear hijab when they want to pray. So after prayer, hijab gone again. This is called hijab for prayer. So this elderly lady said, you don't have to pray. If you don't wear hijab, don't pray. But these young girls, alhamdulillah, even they are ignorant in their own way, their iman is weak, but they just don't bother what this elderly sister is saying to them. And then they got caught another one. Because of no hijab, they wear shirt that have images. Shirt. Sometimes we wear t-shirts, you know. And then some, you have tiger here, you have only Allah knows what picture in front or at the back. We are not alert about many things. So they say, haram, haram, your prayer will not be accepted. But they just take some telukong that is inside and they pray. And they just left the place. Some sister was there. They were shocked. They do not know what to say, what to do. So they were asking us yesterday. I said, in the future, when the girl is having this problem, you can just protect the elderly sisters. And yeah, inshallah we will help them. We will talk to them. You know? Maybe what the elder sisters say, there's some truth. There's some truth. Because as a Muslim, we should not wear that kind of dress. No. But they are not aware of. Yeah? A lot of brothers also are not aware about what kind of t-shirt that you can wear. Sometimes they got free t-shirt. Carlsberg is good for you. You know, what can you do? They forget about that. They only know free t-shirt, you know. Yeah. So, but anyhow, in the same time, the sister said, should I be very confrontation with the elderly lady? I said, no. You should just tell them, thank for the reminder. Let me follow up with this younger sister. So you help both sides. The eldest one, they mean well, but the approach is wrong. They show no mercy. Because sometimes we know what is right, but the way we want to educate others, we don't use the best approach. You are chasing these people further and further. We do not know what happened later on, yeah? But I'm just going to show you, hardly we have sabar, and then we pray for them. Give them, yeah, the benefit of doubt, have good feeling that maybe they do not know, and hope to advise them and make dua for them. That's why I'm saying, Islam is not here to give us the ticket to go and judge people, no. Islam is about you, me, myself, and I, how to become a better person. How to show a good example to others that we are a good believers. Mm-hmm. Prophets always made dua to Allah to guide their people and save them, not to condemn them, not to destroy them, not to demoralize them, not to humiliate them. Even amal ma'ruf nahi munkar in the time of all the prophets, you never come across that there is any form of humiliation or any kind of action that really they want to expose to the public how bad this person is. That's why all the bad guys who with the qadr of Allah have been punished, their name is not been mentioned. Why their name is not being mentioned? Khalas. Yeah, they have accepted the qadar. You don't have to name their name anymore. The lady who commit zina, the man who commit, their name is never been mentioned. See how wise, yeah, the prophets. Yeah, but we are a different kind of group of people. Yeah. We hope we will change, inshallah. At least we make dua. Now we don't even make dua. And sometimes the worst thing that happened to us, we just wait for people to commit sin. You know? We love them to commit sin. Sometimes. So that we can humiliate them. Very, very bad. Yeah. Even they have committed sin, we should show mercy, give them hope, call them to repent, teach them, guide them. Abu Hurairah, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, reported that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, لِكُلِّ نَبِيٌ دَعْوَةٌ مُسْتَجَابَةٌ فِي أُمَّتِهِ. Every prophet had an accepted dua, acceptable dua for his people. Yeah. The dua of the Prophet to his people normally is very, very powerful. Now, what do you mean by dua from the Prophet to his people? Yeah. Because the Prophet is a leader to his people. It's just like the dua of the parent is very powerful to the children because the parent is a leader to the children. The same goes, inshallah, the dua of the leader is very powerful for his followers because he's the leader, he's responsible, he's taking care of his people like how we take care of our children. It's very powerful. So we have to keep on making dua. Even we don't see the result yet. I do believe all of us here do make a lot of dua. But sometimes we don't see any result. Why? Why? You just keep on doing. Yeah, just do. Never give up. Each prophet has already made his dua. I show you one of the dua of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he was going to Ta'if, you know Ta'if? Ta'if is a resort area. When summertime, most of the people who don't travel outside would like to go to Ta'if. Cooling. It's like Genting, Fraser Hill. Yeah? Alhamdulillah. Now you have cable car to bring you up to Ta'if. Yeah? And halfway you see a lot of what you call this a special kind of monkey. Start with baboon. Baboon or gaboon? Yeah? Baboon. You have a lot of baboon. Yeah. When he was on his way, it's because after Khadijah passed away and Abu Talib passed away, because the year of sadness, he was hoping to get some family members over there to support his mission. In return, they throw stone at him. They don't receive this man with honor. He is the messenger of Allah, the last prophet. But these people throw stone at him. Some of the companion who was with him just can't take, and then they protect him. They were also being stoned. He was injured, bleeding, and he moved backward. He left Taif. While he was resting under a tree, Allah command the angel that is in charge of the mountain around Taif to come to the Prophet and seek his permission to destroy the whole nation of Taif. Because they have injured the messenger of Allah. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam respond, "Inni lam ub'as la'anan." I was not sent by God, Almighty Allah, to bring disaster, to bring destruction to the world. No. Walakinna Allah, walakin bu'istu da'iyan wa rahmah. But I was sent by Allah as a savior. Da'iyan, a caller, a savior. To save the people from darkness to light, from falsehood to truth, from batil to haq. That's all. I'm not here to judge people, to destroy people. No, no, no. Wa rahmah, to bring mercy. To show mercy and to teach mercy to the people so that everybody will learn how to love each other, care for each other. And then he end up with her dua. Allahumma hadi qawm fa innahum la ya'lamun. He said, oh Allah, give guidance to these people. They throw stone at me because they do not know who am I. They do not know who is Prophet Muhammad. He said maybe he's a troublemaker. Yeah. Maybe he's anything you can say. You know, when you don't like a person, you can say anything. You can label him with anything. But in return, he made dua. If these people now in Ta'if do not believe in me, make their children. If the children do not believe in me, make the coming generation to become believers. Allahu Akbar. See the vision of a messenger, a prophet. Allahu Akbar. Is that easy to make dua for people who hurt you? Is that easy? No. But if you don't want to make a dua, is that okay? I think the minimum dua I will teach you how to make is, do you need a minimum dua? Later on, remind me. Each prophet has already made his dua. But I have saved my dua for my ummah to intercede for them on Judgment Day. There's another dua that the Prophet asked, O Allah, let me become the intercessor. Let me become the person who gives shafa'ah to my ummah. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given a great burden of shafa'ah for the, in the Day of Judgment, where he will come, Ummati, Ummati, where is my ummah? Where is my ummah? Because his ummah is the greatest nation among all the other nations. By billion, the ummah of Prophet Muhammad is not my million, by billions. Where the ummah of all other prophets, they don't reach even 10,000. You have maybe some prophet only 10 followers, 100 followers, 1,000 of followers. There are prophets who have zero followers, but they are still prophet. They have done their job. If Allah is Allah who give hidayah, not them. But they have done what they have to do, and they have conveyed the message. Intercession or shafa'ah. One of the intercession that the Prophet promised all of us is when you hear the azan every day, male or female, when you hear the azan is being called, follow. Don't forget while you're eating, driving, talking, no problem, talk. But when the azan, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, stop, you say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Don't forget to respond. Even the sister who are not praying because you have your break. But when the azan is on, you can respond. Even you are jogging, walking in the evening near Asar time, then azan is not, while you are walking downward, say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and then you walk again. And then the azan, muazzin will say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you continue, you follow. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. When they say, Hayya ala salah, you don't say, Hayya ala salah. What do you say? La hawla wa la quwata illa billah. When they say, Hayya ala al-falah, what do you say? I hope you all remember. Yeah? InshaAllah. I'm worried that people who not used to it, they will say the same. Hayya ala salah, they also Hayya ala salah. No. When you Hayya ala salah and Hayya ala falah, you just respond, La hawla wa la quwata illa billah. Why you said La hawla wa la quwata? Why don't you say the same like the muazzin? When the other you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you are just saying, you are repeating the same word, but come to Hayya ala salah, Hayya, you don't say Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah. You don't say that. Why? Because when come to prayer, come to success, all is in the hand of Allah Rabbul Alam. Is in the power of Allah. But Allahu Akbar is just talking about the greatness of Allah. So all is the same. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasul is the shahada. It's the same. You cannot change that. Neither you should add. Even you love Abu Bakr, you love Omar, you love Ali, don't add their name when azan is on. Because it's not from the teaching of Islam. Yeah? Because it's not easy to call people to pray, you know. If only Allah will, they'll come. If not, they can sit just beside the mosque. They can sit just beside the mosque. Not only that, you have the poor and the needy who want some help from the Muslim, they will come and sit in front of the mosque, but when azan come in, they don't even enter the mosque. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. At the end of the azan, the Prophet ﷺ said, after La ilaha illallah, we also said La ilaha illallah, then make salawat upon me. Whoever performs salawat, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Then continue with a dua. Allahumma rabba hazihi da'watit tamma was salatil qa'imah. Ati Muhammadanil wasilata wal fadila wa ba'athu maqaman mahmudan allazi wa'adta. Oh, you want to add innaka la tukhliful mi'ad? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever recite that every azan, then he have the right to my shafa'ah. Can you imagine how blessed we are? We will be receiving the shafa'at. The Prophet is going to look for us. Number one is the muazzin. The muazzin, the Prophet will call them, come forward. Because the Prophet can identify them by their neck. You know, when you want to azan, you must, you know, make sure you use it. Your sound hand and your neck is going to be a bit high, you know. So in the day of judgment, Allah's Qadar, all the muazzin have longer neck like a giraffe. Everybody's neck is normal only then, but at that time only, don't worry, you become normal again. Don't worry, you don't look ugly. Just for that time, where the Prophet from far can, this is the muazzin, this is muazzin, this is muazzin. Ummati, ummati, come. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alham. The shafa'at of the Prophet is so important. And look at the second shafa'at I want to share with all the good brothers and sisters. They are good also, they are not good also, this shafa'at. Not say the shafa'at is not good. The reason. All his ummah, insha'Allah, who do not commit shirk, when they die in the day of judgment, day of resurrection, Allah will permit all of us to bypass the sirat, the first sirat. You know what is sirat? The long bridge. Here we have siratul mustaqim. We want to follow the right way, the right path, the straight path. Over there is one sirat that everybody must pass through. Even all the Prophet will pass through, follow with 70,000 of the Ummah of the Prophet will pass through like lightning, very fast. And there will be a last followers of the Prophet who will crawl because of the burden they have to carry, the sin that they have committed. But those who commit shirk, they will try, but they will drop. They will drop and there are hooks. Under the bridge, they are hooked. The hook will hook you and then will throw you to hell. But for those who have doing some good deeds, or you're crying, you fall, the hook will hook you and bring you back and let you crawl again. Whoever passed through that long bridge, then you will be facing another shorter bridge called Qantara. Qantara, another bridge before enter the gate of paradise. Whoever keep on falling, that means they have go to hell. But those who have a safe journey past the long bridge, they will be stationed in an area before they enter the gate of paradise. All of them got to go through the shorter bridge called Qantara. And what did the Prophet said about Qantara? Even we have been good, we have to be there for a moment. Why? I think I share with all the brothers and sisters here why. Why? Do you remember the story? Why? Yeah? Yeah. It's about hutang. It's about debt. Debt, you borrowed money with someone, you have an intention not to pay. You will be stopped over there. Even you die as a shahid or shahida, protect Islam, you fight for Allah. You know people who die as a shahid will go to paradise without any judgment anymore. But because of hutang, that you will stop. And also because you have committed so much sin, hurting another Muslim, zulm, you oppress, you exploit another Muslim, you keep on lying and cheating another Muslim, you will be stopped there for a while to settle all your problem among Muslims. Think that you don't settle here, you have to settle there. So you have a choice, want to settle here or over there. I think better settle here. Settle. Over there you have nothing to settle. You have now no money anymore. All your money is gone. How are you going to pay back? So if you owe anybody any money, even the husband, if they owe their wife money, settle here. You sometimes they are husband who owe their wife. Yeah. The wife owe their husband is considered sadaqah. Because it's the responsibility of the husband to give to the wife. It's their right. Yeah. So there's a difference. Yeah. But from the men, yeah, if they, like when you get married, you marry with mahar hutang, dowry, yeah, you forget to bring some cash, and the qadi don't have the machine, you have some credit card, you say, no credit card. But you can still proceed with the marriage, mahar dowry hutang. Yeah. 200 only, not much. Yeah. 2,000, 10,000, but then you don't pay her. It is a hutang. Yeah. Remember that. Yeah. When you hutang, but if you really have the intention to pay the person, you have the mean and you are looking for the person, you can't find him. Or you have the mean, no, you don't have the mean. You don't have the mean. You really want to pay, but you can't. You're getting poorer and poorer. You must quickly, humbly approach the person and say, please forgive me. Whatever I have you think is valuable that you can make use of it, take it. My watch, my handphone, take it. I think maybe got 500 there, 300 here. Take it. I don't have a bike, I have a bicycle, take it. Whatever you are sincere, say, take it. This is all that I have. Forgive me. I believe that the person will forgive you. If you are sincere. But if you really are sincere, you ask them for forgiveness, they are very mean. No. I want every penny to be paid back. Because I'm very hurt, I'm very angry with you. I'm not going to forgive you forever. See you in Akhirah. Oh. Of course you're going to see them in Akhirah. You cannot run away. When you see Akhirah, you will see them in Qantara. But Allahu Akbar. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that at the day when you are in Qantara, if you still have this problem, he, the Prophet ﷺ, will come. He will come and he will say to the person, do you forgive him? In return, I give my shafa'ah. He will give the shafa'ah as a replacement of the hutang, the debt. Look at the Prophet ﷺ, so merciful, caring, loving, still think of us until the day of judgment. We have been so wrong here, but He is still waiting for us over there to save us. Allahu Akbar. To show us His mercy. If we don't love this man, it's just too bad. And if you try to follow this man and people is labeling you, it's just very, very sad. How can? When we try to follow the best man on earth, and people joke around with us, people humiliate us, people blame us, label us, that we are doing something so wrong. May Allah protect all of us. Ameen. Intercession or shafa'ah is to intercede with a strong person asking him to help others that need his help. There is literally meaning of shafa'ah. And you know, brother and sister, the Prophet ﷺ, with his mercy and with Allah's blessing, that his ummah, every single one of us who are a good Muslim, will also given by Allah the shafa'ah. That we do not just save our soul, we can even save the soul of our loved one, especially our parent who die as a Muslim first, with a condition they die as a Muslim. But they are not a good one. They have been drinking, gambling, doing a lot of bad things. But because we are good, righteous children, Allah give us the shafa'ah to save the parent. That's why it's very important to invest on your children. Make sure that you leave righteous children behind. You have peace, inshallah. Make sure that we have that. That is our asset, the best asset. Allahu Akbar. How beautiful when you can save your parents. They have been so loving, so caring for us here. They have sacrificed a lot, but they also have their own problem. But now the children are righteous, and Allah grant them Jannah and also Shafa'ah. Go and look for your parent. But only those who die as Muslim, who do not commit shirk. Who have Shafa'ah again? All of us have another special shafa'ah. If we perform Hajj together, we perform Umrah together, we pray together, we fast together in the Day of Judgment, when Allah said you go to paradise, then suddenly you saw your friend who pray with you, who fast with you, who went Umrah and Hajj with you, is not going to Jannah. He is stuck somewhere. You say, oh Allah, he was my friend. We pray together. We fast together. We perform Umrah together. We perform Hajj together. I just can't go there without him. Allah's mercy, brothers and sisters. Allah's mercy. Go. Go and invite them to go to paradise. Another extra shafa'ah. MashaAllah. To show us that Allah do not want to hurt us, keep on showing us ways how to save our soul, how you can save others. Just become good, kind, loving, caring, merciful. Intercession with Allah may only be done with, of course, His permission. But this is in a saying of the Prophet. If you look at the book, you remember the book that we have taught all of you maybe 2-3 years ago, the book on the last day. If you still have the book, go through. Interlink, all this interlink, this is the Arkanu Iman. So that will give you more evidence. What we have said to you is not just an opinion, but it's from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. It's true. The most important intercession on Judgment Day is when the Prophet ﷺ will devoutly ask Allah to save his ummah from the punishment of hell and to admit them into Jannah. That is why the Prophet said, "Kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannah." He said, all my ummah will go to paradise, will go to Jannah. Inshallah. This is the Prophet's promise. All my ummah. But then the Prophet continued by saying, "Illa man aba." He have to say that. All my ummah will go to paradise except. There's always an exception. It's like what Allah said, "Wal asli innal insan lafi khusr." Indeed, every day, every second, every hour, every time, all of us being human will become a loser. All of us are a loser. Then Allah continued, "Illa allazina," then illa, except a group that will not end as a loser. So the Prophet here said, who are not the loser in Surah Al-Asr? "Illa allazina amanu," when you have faith, iman. Faith only, you'll be a loser. "Illa allazina amanu wa amilu salihat." Faith must follow with amal, action, righteous deeds. After doing that, you can still be a loser if you just think of yourself that you want to go to paradise. "I don't care about my wife, I don't care about my husband, I don't care about my children." No, no. "Illa allazina amanu wa amilu salihat wa tawasaw bil haqq." You must remind each other, save your close one, the person that you love, who are close to you. Save your husband if your husband is a river. Save your wife if your wife is a river. Save everybody who you know, your family member who are all Muslim. Save your friend who are not yet Muslim by inviting them to Islam. It is our duty. Prophet was sent for that, not just for him. "I save myself, my family, khalas, I don't care about other people." No, they have to convey the message. They have to share the truth with other people. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet said, but of course to do all this good thing, to have faith, to do righteous deed, to invite people to do what is good, you need a lot of patience. That's why Allah said, "Watawasaw bis sabr." All prophets have patience. Our Prophet have the greatest patience, sabar. Yeah? The Prophet said the other hadith that I quote earlier, "Kulli ummati yadkhuluna al-jannah," all my ummah will go to paradise, inshaAllah. "Illa man aba." "Illa man aba." Then the Prophet, in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet said, except those who do not want to go. How can you let them go then where they don't want to go? How can you save a person when the person do not want to be saved? You can't. Can you save somebody who do not want to be saved? Can you help somebody who do not want you to help him? Can you do that? You just can't. Can you teach somebody who do not want to listen to you? You just can't. He's drowning. You throw a rope to him. When you save, he don't want to hold the rope. Call us. Ma'asalama. So the Prophet ﷺ is here to say, all my ummah, inshaAllah, will go to paradise, except illa man aba, those who refuse to go to Jannah. Of course, you ask every Muslim, do you want to go to Jannah? Of course, every yes, yes. But sometime I came across, very long time ago, brave Muslim, very brave Muslim. If everybody go to Jannah, who's going to hell? Then why must God created hell? Jannah will be a queue, you know, full house. It's easy to say it now. So daring, you know, you have Muslims sometimes. I don't know whether they are just joking with me. You know, I hope it's a joke, you know. But we don't joke around like this. It's like you are asking for help. Can you imagine you are asking for help? You know, in the month of Ramadan, the door of the gate of hell is closed. But if you want to knock at the gate and open for me, he will open. Don't think he can open. He can open. Then the Prophet continued. Because when he said, except those who refuse to go to paradise, companion was shocked. Is there among the ummah of Prophet Muhammad who do not want to go to paradise? The companion was shocked. Surprised for the companion. Weird. Strange. That's why they asked the Prophet, Qila ma ya'ba ya Rasulullah, who are the one who refuse, who do not want to go to paradise, ya Rasulullah? The Prophet, man atani dakhala jannah wa man asani faqad aba. Allahu akbar wa lillahi alhamd. What the Prophet is telling us, brother and sister, whoever follow my sunnah, obey my teaching, love the way I want them to do things, he will go to paradise, because I'm going to bring them to paradise. Whoever refuse to follow my sunnah, he know what is my sunnah, he refuse to follow, he belittle my sunnah, he abuse my sunnah, what right do he have to be my ummah? You refuse to follow me. In this world, you refuse to follow me. Then how can you follow me in the next life? So don't belittle the sunnah of the Prophet. Whoever want to go to Jannah and receive the shafa from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not difficult. Just try your best. We cannot be 100% perfect. 50% may be also difficult sometimes. But have some percent. Don't have 0%. Yeah? Do whatever you think that you can when you are still alive and we are still able. Yeah? Give you one example. You love your husband. If your husband have beard, let him keep his beard. If we can't keep our beard, let our son keep his beard. Alhamdulillah. Maybe we're worried our beard become a problem. Sometimes what can we do? Beard also become a problem. Our beard become problem. The Sikhi Punjabi beard, no problem. Very beard, you know. They can have beard, they can be anywhere, no problem. Because that is their right. But how about our right? Like we have no right. The nun can wear the hijab. When a Muslim woman wants to wear hijab, we cannot have our right. It's too bad. Some mother who are not changing yet, wearing hijab, but your daughter is wearing hijab, be very happy with them. Support them. Don't go against them. Because this is the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then slowly we hope that we become better and we also change. Sometimes changes come from the children. We should have guided them, but they was guided by someone else with the help of Allah, and then we should be proud. And then we work together to become a better Muslim. This is very important. Don't underestimate the importance of following the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the Prophet said, man atani dakhala jannah, man asani faqad aba. Even the Prophet can't give his shafa'ah because you hate his sunnah. You don't like his teaching. Yeah? And that's why the Prophet said, nobody can have a real faith, true faith, until he loved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anyone else, even to himself. You like to do so many things to yourself, but you must make sure that you do not do something against the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So no tattooing on your body. Even you love to make tattoos, you like some design, You want design, do it on the book. Yeah? Paper, no problem. Not on your body. What happens, Ustaz, if there is there really? And sometimes the tattoo, astaghfirullah al-azim. If you have the means to clean, you clean it. If you cause more harm, you just cover it. Wear garments that do not expose it. Inshallah, Allah forgive all the past sin, inshallah. We should not understand from this hadith that a prophet is granted just one acceptable supplication throughout his life. We know that this is not true and that Allah accepts from the prophet much more than he accepts from other people. The prophet dua is very, very general. Yeah? But the beauty part of the prophet's dua, he do not only dua for Muslims. But we Muslims today are very selfish. When we make dua, we only focus inward. We forget to dua outward. We fail to reach out to our friends who are not yet Muslim. We fail to talk to our neighbors who are not yet Muslim. We fail to talk to our friend, our close friend who are not yet Muslim about Islam. We don't even pray for them. Can you imagine what kind of heart we have? We are heartless people. You can do wonders, brother and sister. When you have tea, you don't know how to talk. You bring somebody who know how to talk, let them do the talking. While we are eating, we are drinking. If that person have hidayah, can you imagine? You save them from hellfire. Allahu Akbar. And if they are strong, they bring the Islam back to his family and they save their family. Can you imagine how much reward you get from Allah Rabbul Alameen? How thankful this family to you that you have saved them. But we forgot all these good things. We know that this is not true, yeah? That the Prophet's dua is only very limited, is open. Yeah? He dua for all the not yet Muslim. Can you imagine he dua for us? He don't know that we are going to leave. He don't know that he's going to have the umat from Malaysia. He don't know. He have never been to Malaysia. But he has making dua from his name. To the extent that he said, Mata alqa ikhwani, mata alqa ikhwani. When, oh Allah, I can meet up with my family. The Sahaba was shocked. The Sahaba, you know, was saying to the Alasna ikhwanuka ya Rasulullah, are we not your family? You see how the Prophet expressed himself. He was loving to see all of us. But then he was saying the word he used, ikhwani, ikhwani. Ikhwani, brothers, family. Companion was shocked, are we not your companion, your family? The Prophet said, antum ashabi. You are my companion. Ikhwani, who is the ikhwan? Ikhwan is those who come after all of you, who believe in me, who follow my teaching without seeing me. Who are they? We never seen our Prophet. We don't live in his time. But we are so attached to his teaching. When we know this is a saying, the Prophet, the Sunnah, we try our best to follow. Allahu Akbar walillahi alhamd. But in the same time, brothers and sisters, that's why the Prophet said, there will come a time people will believe in me, follow my teaching without seeing me. They are my family. But again, brother and sister, why he used the word family here and he used the word companion to the Sahaba? We can be family sometimes. Family are not close, true or not. We are brother and sister, but we are not close. But we are close to our companion. Why we are close to the companion? Why? Why we are close to the companion? We are close to the companion because we all share the same struggle, the same mission, same frequency. You love Allah, I love Allah. Yeah, you love the Sunnah, I love the Sunnah. Yeah, you love knowledge, I love knowledge. You love doing good things, I love to do good things. We love to do everything together for the sake of Allah. Of course, you are closer. In the sight of Allah, you are closer than just your family. Why? Because even Allah have warned us that your family, your children, your partner can be your enemy. When you love Allah, they dislike. When you like to pray, they don't like to pray. When you want to go for classes, they like to go clubbing. Example. Clash. Contradict. So that's why companion normally, in a way, is closer. But the Prophet is expressing his feeling to his ummah that we are like his family. And that's why he is waiting for all of us in the Day of Judgment. Yeah? Let us try our best to follow his sunnah, to be a good person, to show good example to others, so people don't hate Muslim. Yeah? People will love the Muslim. By loving the Muslim, people love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now people are abusing Prophet Muhammad, cursing him, is because, maybe, I don't know, is because of our own doing. We don't show good example. Yeah? But we believe that all the sisters and the brother who are here are very serious in doing changes, and may Allah help those who help themselves, and may Allah help us to reflect more. What can we do after this? To show our love to the Prophet and to qualify ourselves to receive the Shafa'ah from our Prophet in the Day of Judgment. Allah and the Prophet never ask a lot from us. If only we can do the minimum first, is a good sign. Yeah? Then later on, you can come forward and ask us what is the best to do next. We will guide you slowly and you move forward. Then you see the changes within ourselves, inshallah. Before I open for Q&A, brother and sister, do you remember one thing that I have to share with you? Yeah? If you do not want to make dua for somebody who hurt you, what should you do? What should we do? Can you make another dua for them? To destroy them? Don't do that. They are not good to you, maybe they are good to others. Wallahu a'lam. You can make another dua. May Allah protect you from them. Simple as that. You excuse yourself. May dua, may Allah protect you from them. Is that easier? I think that is easier. That's the least that you can do. Because we are not supposed to curse anybody. If the Prophet was not sent to curse anyone, how can his ummah curse? Just may Allah protect us from their fitnah. Yeah? So that we have less problem. Yeah? Because the Prophet did say, we have the right to love whoever loves Allah. We have the right to hate whoever do something that displease Allah. People who like to create fitna, bad mind, is not people who we like. Especially who create fitna to you, to your family, to me, we also have to protect ourselves. But we must be strong and keep on asking Allah for protection every morning, every evening, so that Allah Rabbul Alamin remember us. Yeah? So brothers and sisters, again before we end today's class, we hope all of us have learned something very important about the importance to understand the mission of all the prophets, especially Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there's no prophet after him. And remember to make dua, not only inward, also outward. Yeah. To your friend who are not yet Muslim, please make dua for them. Please make dua for my family, my sibling who are not yet Muslim. There are still a lot. We have been trying, but Allah will make the final decision. إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يَحْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Even Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was reminded by Allah, you cannot give guidance to whom you please, whom you like, but I, Allah, will give guidance to whom I like. Meaning, guidance don't belong to any one of us, belong to Allah. But the least we do is to not stop making dua. And don't forget to make dua to the brother who is not well, and whoever we know among our friends. Make dua for the people in Syria, in Myanmar, wherever they are, in America. Allah is testing the Muslim more and more from time to time. Yeah. And may Allah help all of us. Ameen. Now we open for Q&A. Inshallah. Let me try to answer a written question first. Is it good for Muslim? No, they don't. I read the question. Yeah, I was trying to rearrange the phrase, but let me read. It's written by somebody. Question is: Malay Muslim like to do doa salamat, baca yasin. For a majlis like going to Umrah, going to further study, and so on. What is the correct teaching on it? The correct teaching according to the Prophet ﷺ is he encourages his Ummah to always make dua. Anything you want to do is very important to seek Allah's guidance and protection. Going for Umrah also is not an easy task. You are leaving your family. Anything can happen to you. Make dua, may Allah safeguard your journey through and flow. Because whoever go for Umrah, I think we want to come home. Yeah? And also make dua for the family that we left behind. That's why there's a special dua taught by the Prophet for travelers. That would be the best dua. It's good to make dua, but must you have a majlis for that? Not necessary. If you have the means, you want to gather family members, friends, close friends, maybe you have a few words you want to leave behind, wasiat. Normally, this kind of gathering is what? Those who want to travel may want to say something. Maybe if I've done something wrong to my friend, my family member, forgive me because I'm going for Umrah. Pray for me, and if I have certain wasiat, amanat that I want to remind, I want to leave it behind, I will remind everybody so everybody are aware. That is a good gathering. A gathering remind us about we asking forgiveness, and then in the same time, if there's any kind of wasiat, amanat that you want to leave behind, we do it to the people who are with us. Yeah? reciting Quran is something very good. But there is not an amount that the Prophet ﷺ fixed for everybody who want to go to this, do this, must recite. You can recite by yourself, no problem. No problem. If you want to recite Yasin, Al-Baqarah, you know, Ali Imran, Surah Al-Kahfi. It depends on your travel. If you are traveling to some area, a lot of fitna, I think it's good to recite Surah Kahfi, because Surah Kahfi reminds us about a lot of fitna. Yeah? The fitna of Dajjal and so on. It's good. So it depends on what kind of activities that we are doing. Yeah? If you come across anybody show you that there is a hadith, yeah, said the Prophet encourage you to recite each time you want to go for Umrah, this dua. Each time you want to sit for an exam, this surah. Then you do. If there is none, that means you can choose any surah to recite just to get Allah's blessing through the Quran, and also you can make a general dua. That would be my answer. Jazakallah khair. Question from the sisters now. You have some mic for the sister. Good. Any other question from the sisters? None yet? Yes, Sister Farid. Fauzia, faddali.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Just now you said something about if we don't like the people, we should make a dua for Allah to protect us. How about making a dua for them to get everything they want on earth and in hereafter, but double or treble it for us? Can you do that?
Any good dua you can do. Any dua that is good you can do. Don't make bad dua. That's all. Yeah. That's all you have to think of. If you have more mercy, yeah, more sabar, you can do more than that.
Jazakallah
khair. Hayakallah. Yeah. Beautiful question. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we are more merciful. We don't mind. Alhamdulillah. Naam. Brothers, any question? You have a mic here, please, for the brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Sir, recently I saw a TV program on praying in the car.
Praying in the car.
I don't know what program, what channel it is. It just shows that you can pray in the car during that walk too. And then after that, you reach home with destination, you come out later. Mm. So I don't know what you talk about. What do you think about that?
Yeah, if the TV said so, if they have dalil, alhamdulillah. If just their opinion, you people who don't have a better understanding, they will follow. People who have understanding, they won't follow. Because there's no reason. If you are forced to a situation, caught in a traffic jam, and then raining, there's no way for you to even stop somewhere to perform your asr prayer, example, and it's going to end. Then you are not at fault at all. It's not that you plan do not want to pray asr. You have the plan. Normally, you don't miss asr. That particular day, the traffic is so bad and heavy rain, you cannot just stop and pray. And if you can, if you start to pray and then people is moving, and then you're going to cause another jam. You know? Now the mosque is reminding a lot of people for Friday Jumma, please remember where to park, where not to park. Because you are not supposed to cause problem to other people. They give us the honor to perform our prayer, but you cannot just park anywhere and then you block that other people can move. This is very un-Islamic. Islam is not here to just think about yourself and don't think about the right of other people. So, that opinion is just an opinion. Yeah, just an opinion. It's the same thing like people said that you can pray while you're in the plane, but it's not valid, but you pray first. So when you landed, then you pray again, you make qada. The fatwa from Majlis Kebangsaan said that there's no such prayer in Islam. Either you pray while standing, when you can stand, it's valid. If you can't stand, you can still pray while sitting and it's still valid. And when there's no water, then you use tayammum, dry cleaning, and it's still valid. There is no teaching in Islam to say, perform a prayer that is not valid. Why do you perform a prayer when it's not valid? Then don't perform. Even the qada, you just qada when you're land. That's how it goes. No problem. Don't worry, inshallah. Yeah. Next, brother.
So, just on that, my friend asked you what is it?
Some people say they went the waktu.
Yeah, there's the waktu. Yeah. Then there is no prayer the Prophet taught his ummah, prayers hormat waktu.
While we're doing hajj, so that's what the Ustaz told us.
Yeah. Like I said again, if they have dalil, you can follow. If not dalil, it's just an opinion, it's just their opinion. That's all. I can say anything. Do you want to follow me? It's up to you. It's not a law. Yeah. Anything in religion, you must have reference. When there's not reference, it's not religion, it's my opinion. I can be right, I can be wrong. That's why the four great imams said, when you look into our opinion, if it contradicts the Quran and Sunnah, don't follow. The Prophet have said to us so simple, if a person overslept, not because he don't want to pray Fajr, he had to plan, so tired, overslept, the minute he wake up is 9 a.m. sunrise. Take your wudu and pray, there is your time. There's no sin for you. You don't commit any sin because your time is when you are awake. A person who forget, when you remember, pray, and that even is outside of the prayer time, that is your time because you do not do it purposely. If you can't, you do it when you can. And that's why Allah has shown us so many ways. You can't stand, you sit. You can't sit, you even can do it while lying down. What excuse do you have? Don't worry. Just do your prayer and your prayer is valid. That's how it goes. Naam, brother. Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Down from below, yeah.
Okay, assalamualaikum warahmatullahi
wabarakatuh. Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Okay, Ustaz, I just want to ask, what is the status or what's going to be to the non-believers or the non-Muslims who have good hearts? Who have good hearts.
Good hearts.
Who do good deeds.
Good.
Who have the appearance somewhat. They know the sunnah, but they don't have the hidayah. Maybe the hidayah don't even come to them. Or they are in the remote place or where Islam don't go in.
Okay.
So, what will happen to them in akhirah? Will they still be punished? Or is there any dalil or what?
Oh, there is a lot of dalil, yeah. In the book, The Last Day, you will find some dalil there. Number one, even this book, there is a dalil earlier. Allah say in Surah Isra, وَمَا كُنَّ مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبَعَثَ رَسُولًا, that we will not punish anyone until a messenger has been sent to them. Meaning the message have reached them, they purposely reject it. Then Allah will deal with them. If those who do not have the opportunity to know what is, nobody talk to them, they're in a remote area, maybe in a Amazon jungle somewhere, or Orang Asli or in Malaysia, you have a lot of people who don't have any clue about Islam. The only thing they know, Islam terrorists. That's all. The Prophet said, in the day of judgment, Allah will give them the final test. They will have their own test. And now between them and Allah. Allah is very fair, brother. When Allah says He is Adil, He is going to prove to us He's a very fair God. Then every single deed that we have done, He will show it to us. The good one. every bad one also He will display it, so that we don't say that Allah forgot, a God may have overlooked. No, He will just display everything first, number one. But He never said He's going to reward you yet. وَمَنْ يَأْمَلْ مِسْقَالَ زَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَأْمَلْ مِسْقَالَ شَرًّا يَرَى. Allah said, you will see. But that is up to Allah to value your deeds now. It's like you are doing your job, it's up to your boss to value your job, whether they are happy with your job or not. So Allah is very fair. Don't worry about Allah. We have to worry about we as the Muslim. Have you shared the knowledge of Islam to your close friend, to your family member? That is what we have to worry. Because why? If not, Day of Judgment, we will be called to be a witness. You have the knowledge, what do you do with the knowledge? You know the truth, what you do with the truth? We will be questioned by Allah Rabbul Alam. So may Allah help all of us. Help us and help them, inshallah. Any last question from the sister? You have one more sister, then we have one from brother. Go back to the sister Aisha first. Please pass the mic to sister Aisha. Some sisters who have been with us for a very long time, that's why I can remember their name easily. Yeah? Alhamdulillah. Yeah?
Assalamualaikum, Ustaz.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi.
Ustaz mentioned about, you know, we need to emphasize on our obligation to pass the message to the da'wah. But the right words for the people, you know, how do you say it? I try to do through practice by being a good Muslim, but how do you say it to a not yet Muslim to invite them to join the ways of Islam? Thank you, Ustaz.
I was discussing this with the youth, and I called them to plan something. I think also it's time for me to have a special class training for this. So they have started to select few brothers. The sister, not yet. Yeah. So it's good that any of the sisters were interested to know further how is the best approach when you want to talk to a not yet Muslim, how to start. Yeah? I think it's easier when you have this special course, yeah, conducted. It's not difficult, it's just how you relate yourself. You know? I show you two now, it's very simple. We do not know what is in their mind now. Their feeling toward Islam, we do not know. So we have to ask. Ask them, brother or sister, what do you think about Islam? When they start to... But you must be very friendly to them first. If not, they know it's very sensitive. I'm sorry, I don't want to talk about this. This religious matter, I'm worried then they put me behind bars. You know what I'm saying? You know? Because the Muslims are too sensitive about Islamic religious issue. So but when you are very close to them, very friendly, while drinking, you know, relaxing, what do you think about Islam? Now you ask him that way, what do he think or she think about Islam? If she is going to say something negative, listen first. Listen, you must have a lot of patience. Listen, don't jump into conclusion, don't get upset, listen. But if she's going to comment, there's a lot of knowledge that you can get from her before you start the approach. You have to overcome her misunderstanding first. Yeah? In the time of the Prophet, you don't have this issue. The Prophet gives the best example. Today, the Muslims show the worst example. So the situation becomes worse. But because they say Islam, you ask them question, Islam. When they answer, normally they were going to answer you about Muslim. The way they are going to answer Muslim, then you just listen until the end. Okay. I think you misunderstood my question. I was asking you about Islam, not about the people. But you are talking about the Muslim. The Muslim is the people. I'm just asking, what do you think about Islam? Then she may have got confused for a while. Huh? I think I shared with you, you know, this. No, no. That is the people, the Muslim. You know, for teaching, Islam is in the Quran. Have you read the Quran? Oh, no. Do you want to read? Oh, no. They say this book is too sacred. No, it's like a magic. You know, when you touch it, you forget everything already. No. You still remember yourself, don't worry. Yeah? But ask them, see how they respond. Through their response, you will understand them better and you know how to explain. First thing to do that one now is to clear the doubts, the misunderstanding they have towards our religion. You got that? Just try to do that first. But you must have patience, don't get angry. Just smile. Learn how to smile. Relax. Because what they say is right, then you have to admit, you have to be quiet, then say, but I'm just asking you about Islam, sister. I'm not talking about Muslim, you know. We also, when I was in Karachi, when we asked the people about this, they also say, we have more problem from Muslim. Muslim are saying that, what can you do? We must admit, because we are not being honest, not committed, not sincere in our dealing, especially in our dealing. You know, we have a speaker discussion in Karachi. After our talk, we have a night. All the speakers get together. 1 hour, almost 1 hour, the speaker, everyone except me alone, I was silent. I just listened. That night, I just don't have the mood to say anything. I just listen. All the speakers is sharing the experience with Muslims. How bad the Muslim when dealing is concerned, when business is concerned. Astaghfirullah. But because everybody is so negative, I also don't know what to say. I just listen until the end. Allahu Akbar. Now Allah give me the patience to be silent. You know? Because I also cannot say it's not true, because it is their direct experience. And then when they make a deal with a not yet Muslim, even later on the thing have changed, the not yet Muslim honor the deal, honor the agreement. Allah, that is Islamic. A word is a word. If I say I accept this deal, I will accept. I will never change. Even other people going to offer me better? No, because I have make a deal. Oh, that is what Islam wants us to do. But Muslim, may Allah guide us, may Allah forgive. Last one, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, Ustaz.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Actually, in my place there is a surah and we have a practice every Friday night, Malam Jumat.
Now
we recite Yasin and make dua, make tahlil and all that. As far as I'm concerned, I go there because a lot of people in my family passed away, and I think it is a contribution to them. Reading Yasin and doing the tahlil and all that. Lately, there is some people saying that this is not correct. We must only read Surah Kahfi, nothing to do with Yasin. And that is the practice of Rasulullah, they say. So, my belief that I want to contribute something to the people already passed away. How do I contribute?
You make dua. Making dua.
But then it is in a group, when we do together, it's much better than alone we are doing something. I feel that way, because okay, when we in a jama, we together with the same kind of motive, same kind of feeling, same kind of wish, we are asking the dua for the people who are passed away.
Now let us look into what the Prophet said. Yeah? If anybody want to choose a surah to recite every Friday night, yeah, or Thursday night here, then let us look into what the Prophet said in his hadith. If the Prophet choose Yasin, we choose Yasin. If the Prophet choose Baqarah, we choose Al-Baqarah. If the Prophet choose Al-Kahfi, we choose Al-Kahfi. Example. Okay? Let us look into that. If they have their dalil, no problem. I'm talking about how to follow the Prophet. If you want to fix a surah at a particular day, let us check into what the Prophet did. He fix? If there is, alhamdulillah. If none, then we don't fix. Then we just recite any surah.
As far as we are concerned,
no.
There's only Yasin.
No.
We can contribute to the...
Just example. I'm just showing. If you have dalil, anybody have dalil, say the Prophet said, recite Yasin. Then you recite Yasin. Now, dua. Dua is something encouraged, not only to the jama'ah. The best dua, the Prophet said, is a dua from a person to another person without you organize it, without letting people know that I want to make a dua. That is the best dua. Da'watul aqi li aqi fil ghaib la turad. The Prophet said, a dua from a brother to another brother without he knows, without them knowing that we are praying for the deceased, is accepted, will not be rejected, because it comes from your heart. When you organize, that means sometimes it is okay, sometimes it becomes a burden. That people have to have some makan. You know, it becomes a burden to some people. Where this dua is something very, very light. You can do, I can do, the children can do wherever they are. They don't have to wait until Thursday night. Every night you can make dua.
But Thursday night is a special night, right?
Thursday night, yeah.
Good deeds and all that.
It's good. If you want to say Thursday night, the best time to make dua actually is on Friday.
It starts from Thursday night.
No, it starts from Friday.
After Maghrib is already considered Friday.
No. It starts after Jumaat. Yeah. We will know more about that when we learn. I think we are exposed to all these things. It's a matter of we are so used. Traditionally, we are so used on Friday, Thursday night. That's all. Yeah? I think it's because we are so used with that. Yeah? So may Allah guide all of us. Important is, make dua. Don't forget to make dua. You want to read Quran, read the Quran. No problem. Yeah? Inshallah, Allah will reward
us.
See,
because of the Surah Kahfi, what is about Surah Kahfi?
Yeah, Surah Kahfi is about a lot of reminder from Allah about the fitna, Dajjal.
Is it important to read it on Friday night?
According to the Prophet, yes. As a reminder, until even Friday, if you miss Friday, Thursday, then you recite on Friday. Because then Allah will protect you from fitna of Dajjal. Yeah? Inshallah. That's all for tonight. Not today, forget. MashaAllah. It's a day, you know, fly so fast. You know, even day, I feel like night. No. But may Allah reward your patience, brother and sister, and please don't forget to make dua for others. Yeah, my family too. Yeah, my sister is not very well lately in Denmark. We are still communicating with each other. You know, some other thing is happening over there too. We have to make dua for them, inshallah. So we hope to see you again. Soon. Saturday we have the class, Sunday we have class, inshallah. So may Allah help us to become a better Muslim. Amin. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaih. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Today is Waalaikumsalam.